It is the life lived that gives force to the words spoken. Hello everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, last week, Ken began a series of studies on the seven I Am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And I am the resurrection and the life. Well, today, Ken continues with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Question, are you living and serving in the life of Jesus? What about those times when you feel lost or the way ahead is not clear? You know, veteran missionary and author Amy Carmichael once said, it is the life lived that gives force to the words spoken. And now with more, here is Ken with I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life.
Hi there, everyone. It's a joy to be with you once again. We're going to deal with the sixth I Am statement of Jesus in John's Gospel today. And this is the longest one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are really three big things here. So there's a lot contained in this one statement. Let's first read this statement, which is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, that's to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As in the previous statements, we find a pattern. There is a statement followed by a little additional description of what it means. And once again, we are going to have to go into the context of what Jesus was teaching and what was happening in that chapter. The first pair of things that I would like to talk about is destination and direction. Jesus was here telling them about what was to come. In verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And right at this point, we find one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, interrupting Jesus. In verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? To which Jesus then replied in our text in verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that's setting the statement in the context of the conversation. Thomas was not so much doubtful as he was being honest about not knowing. At least he had the guts and the honesty to ask what probably most of the rest might also have felt, but did not dare to ask. I guess he was the logical thinker among them. He's sometimes labeled as Doubting Thomas because he was not with the rest of the group on one occasion when the risen Lord showed himself to them. And he wanted to be really sure himself. He wanted to see for himself and to feel for himself. But this is not the wrong or negative kind of doubt. It wasn't so much the doubt of unbelief as much as it was an honest and genuine desire to settle all doubts, to believe beyond all doubt. So here we find Jesus' statement leaving Thomas feeling very much like a boy being told by his father about going back to his father's hometown. Of course, his father would be very familiar with that, but he had never been there before. He had no idea what it was like and how he was going to get there. So when Jesus said, where I go, you know, and the way you know, Thomas answered frankly, no, sir, not really. We don't really know where you are going, though you have just told us that, because we have not been there before. So how can we know the way? That was a fair and an honest response. Jesus had told them before where he came from and where he was going. He came from God, the Father, and now he's going back to his Father. His origination, as well as his destination, was known to them. What he was also asking them now was whether they knew where they were going, and also do they know how to get there. So there are two life questions here on destination and direction in life. And Thomas' answer reflected their true state. We don't really know. We don't have an answer to the question of destination or direction in life. And if you feel a bit like Thomas and probably the other disciples at this point in time, you're not alone, and you might find your answer just here, in the great sixth I Am statement of Jesus in John 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' answer in verse 6, he states first the way before the where or the destination. And this is what I would like us to consider next. Is it the person or the plan? The where or the destination is getting back to God, our spiritual home, and having a right relationship with God. It's very much like the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus taught, with the prodigal son eventually returning home to his father. This is not about getting to heaven when we die, but coming home to God now. It speaks of salvation and eternal life in Jesus, which is to be had now in this life. So if the where is to the Father, then the way is through the Son. The second half of our text verse in John 14:6 gives the additional description. It says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." What does "except through me" mean? And this is what the preceding I Am statement in the first part of verse 6 elaborates on and explains. The main idea here is to find the right person who can bring you to the destination. And once you have found such a person, you are as good as being there. Having the right guide makes all the difference. Years ago, when I was a university student, I embarked on a rail trip to Europe for a couple of weeks in the summer holidays. And I remember the very first night was unforgettable. Not only had I taken a wrong train and headed in the wrong direction during the day, but by the time I found out and changed trains to go in the opposite direction, it was very late. To be precise, it was close to midnight when I arrived at my final destination on that very first day. I was anxious to get to the youth hostel before midnight, as it would be closed by then. I only had a couple of minutes left as I disembarked from the train, and in my hurry, I thought the fastest way would be to ask someone the way instead of trying to figure out where I was on the map. It turned out that the guy I asked was really drunk, and the so-called directions he gave me really threw me off course. So instead of helping me find the way quickly, I lost my way instead. But thankfully, I found my way at last to the hostel just in the nick of time, before they closed for the night. That was a very practical and profound lesson for me. If you want to get to your destination directly, you need to ask someone who really knows the way. So it's really about the person who knows, even more than the plan to get there. Well, in Jesus, you have met the Son of God who knows the way to the Father, because God is his Father and heaven is his home. It's not just about finding out facts and information and directions on my own in order to make my own way there. This I Am statement addresses three basic Bible questions any seeker would ask. Here's the first one, the way to go. The Bible question is from verse 5, which we have read. How can we know the way? In Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." It's not what seems right to you or to others, what meets the eye. The only right and sure path is to follow the one who knows, because he's been there. Only Jesus is the way, because only he has come from God and is God. This is a call to follow and to be followers of Jesus. The early church and believers were called followers of the way. Isn't that an interesting and a telling epithet? It says something about a people who are on the way and who know the way that they are going. It speaks of a people who are following Jesus as the way. For example, in Acts 19:23, about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. Christianity was a brand new movement at that time, and failing to find a more suitable name for it, they simply referred to it as the way. Here's another reference to it in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. "But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, So I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. That's Paul speaking in his own defense before the governor Felix. And further on, in the same chapter in verse 22, we find the governor Felix similarly referring to Christianity as the way. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings. The deity of Christ, which means Jesus Christ is God, was a pivotal point in the doctrine of the early church, as symbolized in the fish symbol which they adopted. The Greek word for fish is ichthys, and the spelling of that word in Greek is an acrostic, which means the letters stand for something, and it stood for this: Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So Jesus Christ is the way for the early church. He is not the way in a biased sense or a bigoted sense, but because He alone is the only one qualified to be our guide, to show us and to bring us to God the Father. The first gospel tract I wrote was entitled God the Father Through God the Son. The thinking of many alternative ways and roads to God is misplaced, because that is based on the how, the external routes, rather than on the who, which is the one who can bring you there. It's not a matter of knowing just the route or trying to make your own way there. We really need an authorized guide who has the personal knowledge and authority to bring you all the way. In some national parks, it is compulsory to have authorized official mountain guides for climbing the major peaks. And in virgin jungle or uncharted territory, there are actually no paths or routes to follow. So you need someone who knows to be the point man to lead you and to show you the way. So the real question should be, who can show me the way and lead me there? With respect to God the Father in heaven, it is Jesus who is the way. That's the first thing, the way to go. Now the second thing is the truth to know. And our Bible question is, what is truth? This was the question that Pilate said to Jesus in John's Gospel also, chapter 18, verse 38. Contrast this to Jesus talking about the truth in the previous verse, in John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Whereupon Pilate said to him in verse 38, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." There's a big difference between truth in a general sense and the truth in a specific sense. Truth is not a proposition, but a person. Pilate was talking about truth in a general, abstract, and philosophical sense. But Jesus was speaking about the truth in a specific, pointed, and absolute sense. Truth signifies the objective reality behind what you see. It's the real thing, the genuine article. When you have found the truth, you have found the bottom of it all, so to speak, so that you need not look anymore or anywhere else. Ephesians 4:21 says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." If Jesus is the truth, then let us hear Him and let us be taught by Him. Jesus is the perfect expression of truth. He is the full embodiment of all truth. Right back in the opening chapter 1 of John's Gospel in verse 14, it says of Jesus, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And again in verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The truth that came through Jesus was coupled with grace. And that's why Paul exhorts us to speak the truth in grace. God is the fountain of all truth. And because Jesus is God, He is the truth. Other teachers and rabbis can teach about the truth, but only Jesus can claim to be the truth. This is the kind of truth that can transform and that can liberate. It's not just theoretical truth to feed the mind. That is why in John chapter 8, the Lord speaks of this liberating power of truth. In verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And verse 36 of the same chapter 8, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." If you put and read John 8, 32 and 36 together, you will come to this conclusion. It's the truth that sets you free, and it's the Son that sets you free. From these two, the plain inference is that the Son, or Jesus, is the truth that sets you free. Jesus as the way may be a metaphor, but Jesus as the truth is not. It's the real deal. He is really the absolute truth of God. Let's go on now to the third thing, and that's the life to grow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And life is never static or stagnant. If there is life, the evidence of it is growth. Here is our Bible question. What is your life? And that's found in James chapter 4, verse 14, where it says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." So it asks the question as well as provides the answer. From a human standpoint, our physical lives are temporal. They come and go, they appear and they vanish as easily as steam or mist. Again, this life question is not a philosophical but a personal question. The question is not what is life, but what is your life? We're not just talking about the quality of life, but the question is, do you have a life? And yet these are only phrases and terms that reflect our attempts to make a meaningful sense of life. But the real answer from God's standpoint is found in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 4, where John writes concerning Jesus again, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is the source of true life. In him was life. It's a life that comes from God, which brings light, which lifts us up, and which lasts. It's not a temporal life, but an eternal life. You may recall that we touched on this last part of Jesus as the life when we talked about the other I am statements dealing with I am the bread of life and I am the resurrection and the life. The focus here is on the search for meaning, for fulfillment, and for purpose in life beyond what is transient earthly existence. Man's book of life may be written between the covers of birth and death, but the Lamb's book of life, which is a term we read of in Revelation 21:27, is written between the covers of the Alpha and the Omega, which is Christ in eternity. It's important to ensure that your name is included in the Lamb's book of life. In Revelation 21:27, it says, "But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life," referring to those who would be found in the New Jerusalem, the future heavenly abode of all who believe in Jesus. The great Irish missionary to India, Amy Carmichael, quoted a fellow worker by the name of Webb Peplow, "It is the life lived that gives force to the words spoken." We can ask ourselves, are we living and serving in the life of Jesus? This is especially applicable to times when we seem lost or the way ahead is shrouded in mist. Amy Carmichael again remarks that feelings are like mists that cover the mountains. The mists pass, but the mountains abide. And again she said, "You never know what God can do for you till you are where you do not know what to do. And something always happens then." So take this word for yourself. Jesus as not only the way, but Jesus as my way, my truth, and my life. Just like the great hymn writer Wesley put it in his hymn, "Jesus, my truth, my way, my sure, unerring light." The best thing that we can make or do with this great I am statement of Jesus is to make it your own and personalize it in your own experience. Will you take him to be your way, your truth, and your life? And I trust you have been refreshed by his presence and reached by His Word.
Jesus was full of grace and truth, and grace and truth came through Him because He is God, the fount of truth. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong brings us part 7 of the I Am Statements. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. Here are several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send a text message to 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And Times of Refreshing is on Facebook. You can go there to get the latest updates, socialize with other fans of the program, and you can also leave us your views right on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, and there you can listen to any of the programs in our library. Also, Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.